Hello and welcome to the Marketing Meetup podcast. My name is Joe Glover and I'm very, very grateful for your time and attention today. Today we have Amanda Bunn. She's from Mobas and is the head of PR there. Amanda has dedicated her career so far to PR and finding out what makes news newsworthy. And that's the focus of her talk today. It was a really interesting talk because as a marketer, I'll be the first one to admit that PR is a bit of a black hole for me. So many people just say, build relationships with journalists, but the thing I really liked about this talk is it actually went beyond that. Now, this is a really useful, informational talk. I have a feeling that we'll probably try and turn this into a blog post at some point soon, so keep an eye out for that. I also just want to quickly thank the sponsor of the podcast, who are Bravo Marketing. Now, Bravo Marketing are an awesome creative agency run by my mate, Barry Richardson. Now, if you're looking for any kind of creative work, which actually really is grounded in engagement rather than just producing a blog post and letting it sit on your website, then these are the people to go to. Barry's a top bloke and I really trust him to produce top quality work. With all that said, all that's left to do is to let you know that you can interact with the meetup via our website. And you'll also see the Bravo Marketing logo on there with a link to their site. Through our events, through the Facebook group, and we'll also be launching workshops soon. With all that said, enjoy the podcast and have a great day.
Thank you. So my name's Amanda. I recognise a few faces, but not everybody. So I've worked in PR for the last 15 years. I'm currently head of PR for Mobas. This is our lovely little office in South Cambridge. And I'm here to try and help you. Is there any PR professionals in the room? Just one, two. Okay, so you can tell me after if I'm wrong or right. I'm just gonna go through this. So why I've chosen this topic is because I've worked in agencies all my working career, and time again, I have to have this really awkward conversation with my clients who think they've got news, and it's not news. And it's like saying someone's baby is ugly. It's a difficult conversation. The media landscape is changing and is going to continue to change. And it's harder than ever for us PR professionals, as I'm sure you marketers know as well, to get coverage. So I'm hoping this will help. So here we go. So the Collins English Dictionary describes news as information about a recently changed situation or a recent event. And then they describe what is newsworthy as an event, fact, or person that is newsworthy is considered to be interesting enough to be reported in the media. Hope that helps. So going on to the topic of what makes your news newsworthy. So I'm a member of the Chartered Institute of Public Relations. We have a very close group of people. We have a Facebook group. So I went on there and I said, hey guys, help me out. I'm doing this presentation. Could you please tell me what you think is newsworthy? So Catherine H, she said, how about the following? Is it new? Is it unusual or unexpected? Does it solve a problem? Does it react to or add to a current situation being featured in the news? Hope that helps. Daniela, who was supposed to be here, but I can't see her. How long is something considered timely and what type of stories can get away with being sold in a little later? This made me giggle. The more of these criteria are met, the bigger the news. A, something has just happened or is about to happen. B, affects lots of people. C, is extremely unusual. D, is the first, biggest, longest, etc. E, involves somebody or something famous. F, is already in the news. Or G, it has a great photo. So the example is dog bites man is not news. News would be dog eats man or dog bites 50 men or 50 dogs bite man or Queen's Corgi bites president. So you can see the PR spin. Adam D, agree with the others. I love a bit of audience chat. So as long as the news info is focused on the relevancy to that particular audience, it's newsworthy to them. And last but not least, Adrian said, journalists once told me to think of a topical story is heading and to pitch a story there, moving the story on, in other words. So, you'll be surprised what actually makes the news. This frustrates the living hell out of me. So basically, no one's friends or related to this, Brittany. this idiot put this photo onto her Twitter account, and it got picked up by The Mirror, The Sun, and The Daily Mail. And it frustrates the living hell out of me. Two reasons. One, do you know how hard it is to get in The Mirror and The Nationals for a PR profession? It's bloody difficult. And the other reason is, if she applied for my job and I Googled her, I ain't employing that. No. I'll just move on. And I've got notes as well, so don't worry. So I thought I'd put together a slide of these stories are not news. I'm not saying they'll never get picked up. They might get picked up. But these kind of news stories are actually, they take a lot of time, they take a lot of effort, and actually won't probably generate that much coverage. So I've got new app, I'm so pleased you said that in your presentation. It's like, so what? So what? New office, junior hires, you've got a new website, acquisition of a business no one has ever heard of, product updates, a positive customer testimonial, competitions, and award wins. Award wins are always great. It's really good brand awareness for you guys. But ultimately, an award is usually sponsored by a trade publication or a local publication. And that publication is going to care. The rest won't care. So I hope that helps as well. So, question to the audience. I was going to do a Mr. and Mrs. quiz. I'm really glad I didn't now. How do you guys source your news? Just shout out answers. Twitter?
Press
reader. Yeah? Yeah? Does anyone read newspapers now?
Online.
Yeah, exactly.
Online.
Online. Yeah?
Google.
Yeah. Okay. So I've just put a few sources of news in terms of where people... I had a sort of chat around the office and said to people, how do they source their news? News apps and online news sites were probably the predominant, followed by social media. People, I think we still talk to people quite a lot in pubs and stuff and actually get news that way. Radio, for those driving in and out, if they're not to work, not in and out of anywhere, just driving, you know, commuting. But TV wasn't mentioned as much as it used to. However, Ofcom do these annual surveys, and this is the news consumption of adults aged 16 plus. So this is where they consume their news. And 79% are still consuming by television, something to consider. Online, obviously, next. Radio and newspapers. And I don't know if anybody heard in the news today, Ofcom did one for the children aged between 5 and 15. And I've wrote down notes. I look at Gil like I'm sharing your pain here. So the average child aged 5 to 15 currently spends 1 hour 52 a day watching television. They spend online 2 hours and 11 minutes every day. The YouTube is their favourite channel, and the reason it is... source, and the reason it is because they feel in control. Something to think about if you're targeting children. Not like that. Just delete that from the podcast. God. So, here's my top 10 things to consider if you are ever pitching news to journalists. So, location, location, location. So, the Ivy restaurant down the road, I launched that. Oh, so pleased, thank you. No, it was a good launch, it was a good launch. I don't work with them anymore. But I launched that in London Street, and it's really, really good. But who's going to care? The people of Norwich, right? And that is pretty much it. So it's really, if you're launching something, or if you've got something new, or you want to tell the journalists something, just think about who is it going to have an impact on. Timing. So there's, if you've never written a press release, you can embargo a press release, so you can send it and embargo it, so the journalist can't use it until that particular time. So I used to do the press office for the Royal Norfolk Show. We used to obviously know who the president was going to be, like, way in advance. We could send them out to journalists and give them a date and time that it could be released. So then you know on the day you want the impact happens. So you can always do it that way. If you're reacting to something, normally between 24 hours or less. And if it's after 24 hours, you've kind of missed that day. So human interest. Did anyone see the Norwich petrol station, was it 3 months ago, on Cromer Road, who wanted to announce their new shop was open, they had a Subway, and they changed the price of their petrol to 99.9 pence?
Yes.
Human interest. It was brilliant. It caused traffic chaos. I work in Cambridge, so I didn't have to deal with that. But absolutely brilliant. It's really, really good. And also, one of my clients is specialised in car insurance for young drivers. So they actually challenge and want to champion young drivers. So we can do things like if there's a young driver who has a disability and they've passed their driving test, you know, that's a really nice case study and a local story. Kind of makes a nice local story. So people, it's really important you've got suitable spokespeople who can talk confidently and passionately about the topic or the messages that you want to come get across. At the Ivy launch, for example, we got lots of influencers there who were really, really good in sort of promoting the launch via their social media channels. Usually it will be the CEO or the MD talking, but actually if you've got budget, look for a brand ambassador. So if you've got a celebrity or if you can do a radio day, that kind of thing to get the message out. Impact. So the question to ask is, how will it affect the readers or visitors? How many people will your news affect? The bigger the impact, the more likely it is that you'll get news, whether it's positive or negative. Brexit obviously is absolutely huge at the moment and having a massive impact. It's quite a boring impact, but it's an impact. One of my clients is Sephora, the thing that Mrs. Hinch is all going crazy for. And Mrs. Hinch endorsing Sephora the way she has means that they're actually 3 months out of date out of their stock, so suppliers can't get stock in. So if you get the right people and the right messages, the impact can be pretty huge. Opinion. There's no need to rant, but if you do have a strong opinion about something, a prime example is earlier last week, Martin Lewis did this article on how young drivers can save money on their car insurance. I don't know if anyone saw that. And one of the bits of advice was lie about your job so that you get it cheaper. So my client obviously was like, no, that's wrong. Telematics is how you reduce your premium. So actually we've sent out a reactive comment within sort of 6 hours of that coming out. And we got a comment included in those articles. So that's a really nice way of doing it. Ask yourself the so what question. So I've got a new app, so what? I've got a new website, so what? If you can answer the so what's questions due in every stage, then you've got news. But if you can't answer that question, my advice is just leave it. Don't waste time. Conflict. I'm not saying have a scuffle with people, but actually, if you look at the news, politicians, fans versus fans, teams, that kind of thing, people do like to read about conflict. So obviously don't go out there and attack somebody, but if you have got, like I said in the previous slide, a strong opinion about something, then do be vocal about it. Point nine, uniqueness. So if your story is huge, if it's the first ever in the world, the UK or in Norfolk, then, or you found a cure for cancer, then the likelihood is you're going to make the news. Just make sure that no one's ever done it before. Like, really do your research to make sure that that's the point. And then backed by stats, that was the last point I wanted to make. So we do, with a number of our clients, annual census, which basically means that we can identify trends and things. So actually, year on year, you can do a comparison and try to work out if there's, like, a nice trend that you can point out to people. Journalists are being inundated with stats, though, so just make sure that it's not like 5% of these people have done this, because that's not, you want like 99%. I just wanted to add or conclude the presentation with perfecting your pitches. So if you are ever pitching to influencers or journalists, here's just a couple of tips. So consider the audience. So each publication attracts a different type of reader. You've got so many publications in Norwich, for example, Eastern Daily Press, Norwich Resident. They're all going to have different readers and they're all going to have different lead times. So just keep that in mind. Make sure that your story or your news is relevant and ask yourself, why would they want to know it? Get your messaging right. So tailor your messages. Don't just send a bog standard template or email to your journalist. Keep it factual, keep it simple, keep it purposeful. One of the biggest mistakes, or not mistakes, but one of my things that sticks to me when I was learning PR is my first boss said, write a press release, and I did it. And he just put it straight on my back and put it back on the desk and said, this is not a brochure. You need to stop making it so fluffy, so just keep it factual. has stuck with me. Tortured me, actually. And then perfecting your pitches. So each pitch must answer the following five. The who, the what, the where, the why, and the how. So who are you talking about? What are you talking about? Where is it going to have an impact? Why is it going to have an impact? And how? And I forgot to put on there, but a really strong image as well. The number of times I send out releases, and then I say to my client, have you got a picture? Oh, no. Well, can you take one? Oh, Sheila don't like have a pictures taken. I'm like, okay, that's great. So just remember, images are really important too. So good luck with your pictures. Again, Joe asked me, why is PR important? So I've just written down a few things. So I believe PR is important because I think it creates brand awareness. It creates a perception for a company or a person or individual, and it's good endorsement. How does it fit? I think it's complementary activity. It's a cost-effective way to reach lots and lots of people. You can provide a call to action in the PR copy, and it creates engagement. How does it make money? I'm in two minds whether it makes money, but I think it can have an enormous impact on people going to visit or to learn more. Delia Smith, for example, if you get the right... And do you remember years ago, she had something on a program and then it sold out, or I can't remember, but there was something like that. Holly, I always want to say Willoughby, but it's Willoughby, with her M&S dress sense, so she always sells out. So yeah, I do think PR can have an impact. Who does it really well? Obviously, Mobus. but there are, I think lots of people do it really, really well, but everyone's different. We all have to be creative, and gone are the days of press releases. We really have to think outside the box. If you want to find out more, obviously MOBAS, but there are Chartered Institute of Public Relations, there is Campaign Live, PR Week, all those resources, which you obviously can all have a look at, and I'll stick around after this as well. And that is me.